Welcome to a midsummer edition of One More and I'm Going Home, Going to Bed.
Midsummer edition? It's like a movie.
Yeah. It feels like a movie sometimes. It's an NC-17 movie. Justin Vargo here with Josh Jones. We're recording this installment on Wednesday, July 10th. And you want to discuss the drinks because they were your idea.
We're drinking some good classic summer drink.
Ooh, that is good.
An ultimate honor.
Yeah.
I don't know why, it just came to my mind. It was like a morning.
It was early.
While I was thinking about drinking sometime in the morning, I have no idea.
If the sun's up, chances are it's going to cross your mind.
And I was like, ooh, we should drink Ultimate Arnold Palmer. For those who don't know, it's an Arnold Palmer is what Arnold Palmer drinks. It's his half tea and half lemonade. We didn't know whether it was sweetened or unsweetened.
Yeah.
And then, but the ultimate Arnold Palmer is you add vodka to it.
So we did.
And we did.
Yeah. Didn't take a whole lot of convincing.
No, but it really is. It's a great summer.
Oh, it's fantastic. So speaking of summer, just finished up the 4th of July. Did you have a good 4th?
We did. We always go over to the
Robbie's.
Rossick's Inn. You know, Randall was there. And it's always a ton of people. Crocs come over there. And they had a band this year.
Hit and run played. I saw them Saturday.
So that was cool. So we just hung out there, and fireworks went off. And as soon as the fireworks started, we left because Isaac was standing out with Nana, so we had to fight the crowd or anything at home. So it was a good 4th.
Yeah. Jana went. She went over to one of her friends' house, and they had like 4 or 5. I call her little group the Wolf Pack from the Hangover.
So one man wolf packs.
So she went over there, and they hung out and then walked down, and because her friend lives in Fayetteville, and they walked down to the fireworks. And
well, heck, they were probably right there.
And so then everybody decided they were going to stay. They wanted to stay here, so I went over there. It was probably 11:30 at night, and picked her and two of her friends up, brought them back here, and then two of her other friends had gone home to get their stuff, so they came back here. So about 12:15, everybody arrived. So about 1 o'clock, I just kind of faded off into the sunset
and let them be
and let them have this room. And all 5 of them slept right here.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, these two fold out and those two ends fold out, and the one girl that's real small, she kind of slept on top of the other two.
She was like the Justin Vargo of the group,
something like that. Just not quite as athletic.
I tell you what time did the local fireworks stop that night? Here, people shooting them off in your neighborhood.
Oh yeah.
Because now, oh my God! And when you have dogs, miserable.
Dogs don't like it. But it was good.
No, yeah, man, it was good. Let me tell you about the week before that. When we went down to the cabin. So we went down to Lava's cabin down in
Greenbrier.
Horick Station, right on the Greenbrier River, and the famous spot of Slow Viver there for a couple of years. And then so every year, me and Tash do a float trip, and it's usually fun. Usually it's a little earlier in the summer. So the river's running about 2 to 4 feet, and you don't have to get out much. It was not. It was about a foot above normal, maybe even close to normal. And so we started down the float trip, and we got through the first set of rapids, and Tash was like, I'm done. this is miserable. So I was like, all right, let's just get to the Golden Hole, which is the big spot right at the end, at the corner where you can swim. I was like, we'll go down there and swim. We don't go any further. I'll drag the kayaks back up. So we get down, we swim. She's like, all right, we'll go down the rest of the way. So, okay. So we get down to the next set of rapids. I want to call them rapid shoals. And she gets out to drag through. Well, she realizes she's wearing the wrong sandals. She's wearing her chacos without a back. So she can't even hardly walk in the water. So I was like, all right, I guess I'll just drag us through. So every shoals we got to, I got out, tied our boat kayaks together, and drug her.
I gotta tell you, Joe, that sounds awful.
Normal 3-hour trip, 5 hours. Yeah. Gets better. So we had a terrible run to get out there. Because Tash had a bit on Saturday, so we kind of rushed to get there. We stayed Saturday, and me and her came back on Monday. So we kind of rushed to get down there. So we left, and Dad had told me to bring a pipe wrench in order to replace the shower head. Brett told him, asked him to replace the shower head. So I said, all right, we got it. We get halfway down to Beckley, and I realize I forgot to get Tash's transponders to go through the tolls. So we're scratching the car to change, can't find any change. None of us have cash. So I was like, well, I guess we'll just pull over to Sheetz and get some money and grab some snacks. So as we're pulling off the seats, I was like, oh, she was like, what'd you forget too? And I was like, I forgot Dad's wrench. I was like, well, we gotta put that in the shopping list. We get the Lewisburg to buy a wrench. So we get down to the cabin, get Dad's wrench, throw it the tag on everything. He's laughing at me. Baby does something, and Tad's like, Lily asked, what other shoes did you bring her? And we looked at each other and realized we forgot the baby stuff.
Yeah, I came in to play. Yeah. I became a part of this.
Thank goodness Judy wasn't coming out the next day, so she got a hold of you to get the key, but you ended up going to get the... Mm-hmm. Sorry, we forgot the baby stuff.
Yes, you did. And Isaac's shoes.
And Isaac's shoes. Well, he forgot that. Okay. We didn't forget that. He forgot that. So the next morning, we get up, we go to the store, because we forgot towels. We didn't have any towels.
Jesus.
So we go to the Dollar General store.
So Bruce Willis doesn't have to worry about you guys taking his place as the last Boy Scout.
Gets much better. So we go down there and we get towels. And Lily asks us to get ice. We go buy beer. We forget it's Sunday. Can't buy beer yet. It's 15 till 1. We're like, whoa, we'll just go back. We'll come back later. We leave, get halfway back to the cabin. We realize we forgot the ice that Lily told us. So we had to turn back around. But this time, though, at least we were able to buy beer.
That's a good point.
So then we go, we get down, we're laughing about it, we're joking about all the stuff we forgot. We get halfway down the river, after I've been dragging Tash through those, and I was like, you know the one thing we forgot, the one thing we were definitely weren't supposed to forget? The keys to the truck, so we can get back to the...
Oh, you're...
I kidding. Forgot the keys to the truck. So I had to call Dad. Dang. Once I got into service, because luckily you get service now when you close the Reddit, and told him, I was like, hey, I forgot the keys to the truck, could you bring me the keys? Gets better. I'm thinking we're about 15 minutes away from where the pullout is. I was wrong. We were in hours.
Oh,
so they
had to
stay away. Jenny called me. She was like, are y'all dead? I was like, where's Dad? I wish I was, Jenny, at this point in time. I wish I was.
Damn, you need to tie some strings around.
Oh, man, exactly. It was miserable. We were killing it. Killing it. The memory's gone. It might be I'm putting it on the podcast.
Is that the podcast?
Yeah, the podcast. So I can't remember anything anymore.
Well, speaking of memories you'd like to repress. You know, Jana was here. She left Saturday. So Booth called and he said, you know, that same band, Hit and Run, was playing at Monkey's Uncle. So he said, let's go to Elliot's and have some ribs. And, you know, then we'll go to Monkey's Uncle. So we did. And then that was an interesting experience, which I'm not going to share. I shared with you, but I saw somebody there that I hadn't seen in a while, which was weird. But anyway... So we go down to, and we were responsible. We had Janae drop us off at the Monkey's Uncle because the cops are watching that place, mm-hmm. and I don't even want to fool with her. And I know when me and Booth were together, it wasn't going to end well. So she dropped us off about probably 9 o'clock. And they had the stage set up in that field.
Yeah.
They weren't playing inside.
Yeah, those pictures of it.
It was hotter than hell.
Oh, I can't imagine.
Oh, shit. So they had the band set up out there. So about an hour and a half into it, you know, and Keith and them's band's fantastic. But Laura, who bartends down there, comes up. She says, you going to sign up? I said, sign up for what? She said, oil wrestling. And I said, hell no, I'm not signing up for oil wrestling.
Wait, they had guys sign up for oil wrestling?
Well, she said, I'll wrestle you. And I said, no, I'm not doing that. So you've seen Old School.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You know when they have the KY wrestling
thing? Oh, yeah.
So it's about 10:45, and Keith and them are about finishing up their second set. And all of a sudden, out in the distance, these two people are dragging this inflatable pool and put it right in front of the stage. And they fill the sumbitch up with water. And then there was only two matches that I saw. The first two girls got up there, and yeah, they put bathing suits on, and they covered them in oil. Now, Keith and them were playing songs while this shit's going on. So then they stopped, and then they let the girls wrestle for a minute, and then the match was over. And then Keith Connor was on the mic, and he said, ladies and gentlemen, and I don't know how many people got this joke, but he said, the only thing we're missing right now is some commentary from Shirley Love. And Booth looked at me and he said, just when you think you come down here and see everything, you see a little bit more. Gets better. So the plan was for Janae to come back and pick us up.
Uh-huh.
So Keith and them played an encore for a little bit. And it was 11:30, 12 o'clock, whatever it was. So the band comes back inside and they're hanging out. You know, of course, Tom and I are having a few drinks and this and that. And Tom decides to nominate Keith to be our Uber home. Okay, which was fine. I'm not really sure. Keith, next time Keith is out and he sees me and Tom, he's probably going to leave.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's like, yeah, I'll take you guys home. So it's about 12:45, 1 o'clock. Well, Keith's got all his stereo equipment in the back of his vehicle. So there was the driver's seat and the passenger seat.
Did you sit on Tom's lap?
So I looked at Keith and I said, Keith, how are we going to negotiate this transaction? He said, well, boys, I don't know what to tell you. So, of course, Booth is a lot bigger than me. So he gets in and I get in and I'm basically laying on the door. Kind of on his...
I wish I would have got pulled over and been like a live PD.
And I looked at him and I said, I looked at Booth and I said, if you ask me what I want for Christmas, I'm going to knock your ass out. So we rode home. Luckily, we'd had enough to drink where I pretty much repressed that memory for the most part. But man, that's going to stick with me for a while.
I don't know why. I just keep thinking like a bad Santa now.
Jesus God. Yeah.
Oh, man. Now that is funny. I would have died if y'all get pulled over and then the cop came. They're like, what the heck is going on?
Well, I mean, because the plan, I mean, Tom's got this luxurious SUV that we go down in, and I thought, you know, I mean, Janae doesn't drink, and, you know, she was fine with getting us, but of course, we ended up down here longer than we thought. And then he talked Keith into driving us because Keith lives right over here.
Yeah.
You know, so he just dropped Tom off and then came right over here, dropped me off, and he just lives right down the road. And, so Keith is the new Uber of Fayette County.
Keith. Yeah, Uber Keith. Uber Aaron, Uber Kobe, and now Uber Keith.
I doubt very seriously Keith's going to do that again. I highly doubt it.
I was like, Tash went out one time, and they're good about that, too. They don't drink and drive home. They'll find a way home, and her and Felicity, I texted her and said, how are you guys getting home? And she was like, Jenny Ross. I was like, did not expect that.
That's not a name I would have thought would have popped up.
She went and got her, Haley, Felicity. Rob Rossick was out, and their buddy Chico.
Oh, wow.
They were all out.
Nice.
She brought them all home.
So that was an eventful
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
The monkey's uncle.
Yeah.
I can't believe it was oil wrestling. I can't believe there was guys oil wrestling too.
Well, I didn't see any guys oil wrestle because, like I said, just those first two contestants, and then Laura and somebody else wrestled. And then at that point in time, I was after Keith said what he said about Shirley Love, I said, "I'm going."
You couldn't talk.
Exactly. I said, "We got no place to go but down, boys. I'm heading back to the bar." So yeah, so that's the weekend that was. So we got a lot to get into. I guess we'll jump into. Javon Carter's a Phoenix.
Yeah, Sun. Did not see that coming. They were talking about, you know, how, you know, he'd be a good backup for Morant. But I think he's got a better opportunity at Phoenix. So,
well, he wasn't listed on the summer league roster. That I don't know if he's at. Is he not playing?
I guess he don't think he needs to play because.
So I guess that's a good thing.
That's a good thing. Yeah, they put out a big thing. It is on Twitter about, you know, all his accolades and everything. So they're pretty hyped to have him. Apparently the new GM didn't really understand. They were talking to the color guy for the Suns, and they didn't understand why they didn't take him, because they had the pick right before him, right before Memphis did in the second round, and didn't take him. And they couldn't figure out why they didn't take him, because he was exactly what they were looking for. They were going for a more defensive-minded team, and then they didn't pick him, and now the new GM came in and immediately traded for him. So,
tell you something else that's interesting is, I mean, we bashed, well, I don't know if bashed is the right word, but we gave Sags down the road for his whole knee situation, and now he's not playing.
Yeah. Yeah, so either it was more serious than we thought, or...
Which begs the question, if he wasn't ready to go, why did he leave?
Exactly. This whole situation is confusing. I have no idea what is coming going, but they gave him a pretty decent contract. They gave him it has some sort of stupid name, but... It's a thing where if he doesn't go overseas, it's a 1-year contract, but if he doesn't go overseas, he gets a $25,000 bonus to stay and be on the G League team. So, I mean, it's a pretty good contract. So, I guess they like him more than we think. I don't know.
That whole situation still just doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know.
No, me neither. None.
Did you see, I know we talked last show about Mazzulla going to the Celtics. Did you read that letter he wrote to West Virginia?
No, I saw it, but I didn't see it. Oh, man,
it was awesome.
Was it?
Oh, man. Yeah. I mean, it was long. The, what's the newspaper? Is the Times West Virginia in Fairmont?
Fairmont.
They published it. I mean, he talked about how West Virginia is his second home and how he just loves the people here and how he'll never forget the memories he made. And I mean, just a real class act for him to do that.
He really is. He's just a good guy.
He is.
Anybody can stick Boogie Cousins in the face. Yeah.
Speaking of good guys, Dandy Don got remarried.
Yeah. That's crazy because...
He's, what, 83?
Yeah.
The girl he... Well, I say girl. The lady that he married is Harrison Ford's aunt.
What?
That's what I saw.
No kidding.
Yep.
Good gracious.
Yeah.
I wonder if we'll see Harrison Ford in anything next year. Yeah. That'd be pretty cool.
And the next episode of Star Wars will be in Morgantown.
He's dead now.
Yeah.
Because he comes back. Well, he can come back. I don't think he has Force Ghosts. I don't think he has that power.
Yeah, I don't know. His son's got the Force.
Maybe it's Disney now. Who knows? They can make anything of it.
Yeah, it's hard to tell. And then, Jerry West. Now, I'll pose this question to you. Is he a better exec than he was a player?
You son of a bitch! That was the question I was going to ask my sports question!
Oh, wasn't right.
And I told you, I hope we don't delve into it. Yeah, now I'm going to think of another sports question.
You can think of another one.
But, honestly, and this is going to sound like blasphemy, I think he's a better exec.
I mean, you think about it. And I don't really watch the NBA, but I know Kawhi Leonard's good, and he's the reason why Toronto won. He got him to go to the Clippers instead of the Lakers or stay with the Raptors.
And Paul George.
Yeah. He got Durant to Golden State.
Yeah.
He traded for Shaq and traded for Kobe.
Yeah. I mean,
how many titles has he been responsible for?
And he was, you know, part of Memphis that really got them back where they were competitive again. I mean, he is – they ask this question, like, there's no doubt about it. He is the best former player manager of all time.
Without a doubt.
And there's nowhere even close. And he's approaching maybe the best executive of all time, at least in basketball, maybe in all sports. So I don't know how you can't say he's not a better executive than he was a player.
Did you see there was
any of the top 20 NBA player of all time?
There was an interview with, well, he's the damn logo.
Yeah.
There was an interview, I can't remember what show he was on. It was a Fox Sports show. I can't remember if it was one of Jason Whitlock host, but they had Shaq on there. And they were talking about the Lakers and this and that. And Shaq basically said, he said, I don't understand why the Lakers don't go across the hall and try to get Jerry West to run their organization. He said, he is unbelievable.
Yeah, he's the best.
He started talking about the story that when he, you know, left Orlando to come to L.A. And this and that, but yeah. Well, I didn't mean to steal your thunder.
Somebody said they need to take him and make a new statue of him of just sitting behind a desk.
Put that on the South Gate of the Coliseum.
Yeah, I mean, he's that good.
Yeah.
He is that good. So yeah, and I'm sure there's going to be people who disagree with it, but I honestly think he's a better executive than he was a basketball player, and it's not taken away from his basketball.
Well, if you think about it, as good as he was, he's the only player in NBA history to be voted MVP of the finals that didn't win.
Right.
When he averaged 46 points a game. But he only won one title. And he's won.
Now, he ran to a buzz all that was the Boston Celtics. But, yeah.
But, I mean, you figure, I mean, how many titles with the Lake with Shaq and Kobe? Three?
Yeah.
You know, and Golden State.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. I mean, he's the best. He's a better executive than he was a player.
Yeah.
That's my opinion.
That argument could be made.
Yeah.
Could be made. I'll stay with basketball. Huggins had a press conference
today. Yeah. He seemed pretty excited. He seemed in a really good mood. So.
He did. That'll change quick.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I guarantee you.
So, Logan Routt's on scholarship.
Yeah.
So, we got one spot
left. We figured that. And who knows if they'll fill that or not.
Devin Cambridge is the name I keep hearing.
And he is who?
He's a 6'5 swing guy.
We talked about that last time.
Yeah. So, I don't know how that's going to work, but... Basically, Huggins was talking about how he's excited to see Culver and Shwebue play together. And it sounds like Tajamel Sherman and Ethan Richardson are not going to make the trip to Spain. Right. And he said there could be one other player that won't make it, but he's not sure.
Well, he said he'd been holding McCabe back in practice, but he's full go now because of his knee. So he's a full go for the...
He said you can't tell the new guys from the old guys. He said the chemistry seems to be good. He did say that Culver had a timeliness issue once or twice this summer. He said he's not doing anything bad. He said he's coming late.
Yeah.
He said he's just got to get that cleaned up, and you know, we'll see what happens. But I guess they leave for Spain. Well, they started practice today, so
10 days,
two weeks, yeah, 10 days, something like that. So we'll see how that goes. Mm-hmm. And then Huggins got nominated for the inaugural Conference USA Hall of Fame.
Yep. He should be in the regular Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he should.
I don't know why he's not.
Yeah,
it's
really
ridiculous.
He's not
in there.
Got a new floor at the Coliseum.
That's awesome.
On, which is good.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Which is good. And then other changes in Morgantown. There's a new parking garage up there. Did you see that?
Yeah, yeah.
With the walkway. Yeah. Where is that?
I could not. I don't know.
Somebody said it was on Willowdale, but I pulled up the picture. I don't think it was. And I was showing Thomas Booth, and he said, I think that's Don Nealon Drive. I said, no, it's not Don Nealon Drive, because there's that, was it not Eurosuite, it was Marriott Residence Inn or whatever right there. And then, was it Tailgaters? Is the bar over
there?
Yeah,
I think so.
I don't think that was Don Nealon Drive.
I couldn't figure out either. I'm not exactly sure where that is.
But it's long overdue.
Yeah, that's a fact.
Long overdue. So we'll jump into some more football stuff in the second segment. But we did get two more commitments since the last show. Tarris Simmons, a linebacker out of Georgia, 3-star, had some decent offers. And then we got a commit yesterday, Quay Mays.
Is it Quay or Qua? Couldn't figure it out.
Qua, Quay, I don't know. You say tomato, I say tomato.
Cowboy Mazes.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody know that.
88 team, baby.
Yeah. He was awesome.
He was.
He was a player. He played for the Redskins for a while, too.
He sure did. Yeah, opposite Darryl Green.
Mm-hmm.
He's a big kid, 6'2", 290. So we're up to 12.
He's a nose tackle, isn't he?
Yeah.
Like I said.
We're up to 12 commitments for
next year,
2020. And then Garrett Green was at the Elite Eight camp last week, and the scout said he's going to thrive in Neil Brown's office.
Really?
Yeah.
I wish we could get him in early. He might start this year.
Yeah. We'll get into that here in a little bit. And then Marcus Sims signed with the Jaguars.
Uh-huh.
Didn't get drafted.
Didn't get drafted. I think only one person got drafted in the supplemental. It was somebody from Syracuse in the 5th round.
And then to wrap up the first segment, a good news, bad news thing. The women won the World Cup, which was great. Tragedy is that 45,000 barrels of Jim Beam got burned up in the
I know it. I haven't told Tash. She's been busy. She might cry.
45,000. I was talking to.
It had like a mile long plume going down the Kentucky River.
I was talking to Rick Brown at Elliott's night before last, and he said that it burned for 4 days. It got up to 1,400 degrees. He said they couldn't even try to put foam or water. He said all they did was they tried to contain it and just let it burn.
That's all you could do. That's all you could do. Yeah. It's alcohol. It was pure alcohol. That point that was not even sensitive.
So a moment of silence for the Jim Beam warehouse.
I thought about that. Said Alan Palmer's, we should have brought some Jim Beam for that tribute.
If there's any left, we'll do it next time.
It'd be more expensive, bro.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, you want to take a break and hit the second segment?
Almost been the break. Pissed off at you because I got to think of another goddamn sports question.
Sorry,
son
buddy.
Of a bitch. All right, we'll be right back.
All
right. Welcome back to One More, and I'm going home and going to bed and enjoying these Alan Palmer's because they're delicious.
Yeah, they're good.
I mean, they really are good.
They're good.
So let's talk football. We're gonna hit a few little things, and we're going to do the next 4 podcasts, which we figure will be the end of the summer every other week. We're going to do a segment of
Previews
of positions. So tonight we're going to do half the offense, and then next week other half the offense, then half defense, half the defense. So tonight we're doing what? QBs, running backs, and wide receivers.
Mm-hmm.
Good times.
We got 52 days till football season.
52 days.
So we're not sure if that's good, bad, or in between.
It's always. Even when we're bad, still football season is good.
It is. You're right. So a couple real quick house cleaning issues. Chase Burnt looks like he's going to be the starting center. Looks like Jacob Butchagrossi is done with football.
Yeah.
Injury issues there. So a position that was weak already just got weaker.
Yeah, next podcast we talk about the line.
As far as depth goes.
Yeah.
Now, they did move Josh Norwood to safety, which I think is a win-win, as long as we can find a serviceable corner.
I mean, he was a natural safety. We were playing him at corners. We had no corners. But we knew he was going to be a natural safety.
Yeah, so we'll see how that goes. So the Big 12 Media Days is starting next week.
Yeah.
next week. So the four guys that we're sending are TJ Simmons, Colton McKivitz, Reese Donahue, and Keith Washington.
Yeah.
Which I thought was...
That's pretty good representation. That's pretty good. Yeah, absolutely.
Pretty good crew. Mm-hmm. And we talked a little bit about the Big 12 preseason media poll. Actually came out about 4 or 5 hours ago. We're picked 8th.
Yeah.
Which is probably about right.
And we talked about it before the podcast where ESPN had their predictors on each game percentage-wise.
2.
If you go by how many were above 50%,
2.
It's been just to win 2 games.
2. James Madison and Kansas.
The surprising on that one is that we only have like a 15% chance to win at Missouri. I just don't see how Missouri is that much better than we are. I really don't. I mean, it was just because of the quarterback play, but...
Did you see the Oklahoma percentage? 6.
Yeah, I'm surprised we're even that high.
6. I think Texas was 34. Baylor was only 20. Mm-hmm. TCU.
That's because it was a Thursday night game at their house.
TCU was 22. Yeah. We may have to pump the brakes.
Yeah, our prediction show the week before is going to be interesting to say the least.
Which and all that being said, and we talked about this a little bit ago off air, Vegas has given us the third best chance to win the league.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
No.
No sense. Well, the third highest percentage to get to the playoffs, I guess.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, something like that to make it the... But still, that makes no sense to me whatsoever.
And then I was reading something just before you got here that same ESPN Power Poll that picked us to only, from a probability standpoint, only win 2 games, they have Austin Kendall as the 13th best chance to win the Heisman.
Oh, man, we don't even know if he's going to start.
No.
Oh, Lordy.
So, speaking of Kendall, we'll start with, you want to start with quarterbacks?
Yeah, those are quarterbacks.
Start with quarterbacks, and I guess we'll start with Kendall. Austin Kendall, junior.
Let's read who we got. We got Kendall.
Kendall, who's a junior from Allison. Oklahoma. You got Jack Allison, junior, transfer from Miami. You got Jarrett Doge, which we still don't know if he's going to be eligible or not.
Right.
Junior, transfer from Bowling Green. And then Trey Lowe, who is the only recruit quarterback that didn't transfer in.
Yeah.
Everybody else is transferred.
Exactly. And then we got a walk-on, too. Had a pretty good spring. I can't remember what his name was.
Trent Jackson.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
basically 5, really 4.
You got 4 guys. And we talked about this. I don't see a scenario given the – and we'll talk about receivers here in a second. Given our lack of experience at receiver, given our perceived – inefficiency that we're going to see on the offensive line, I don't see a scenario where Jack Allison gets significant playing time.
I don't either, unless Milbrand can work his offense around him. But I just don't – I'm not really happy with – I thought we were loaded at quarterback, but now I'm not so sure. Go back to Kendall. And I was thinking about this over the last few days and trying to think about the quarterback position. There's probably a reason why they were in the market for a transfer at Oklahoma. You know, and Jalen Hurts isn't the best passer in the world.
He's a hell of an athlete.
Yeah.
I mean,
what sucks is Allison and Kendall were both like a top 10 quarterbacks in the country when they came out as recruits. And now I'm not impressed with either one of them. Now that could change.
And we had to bring a guy in from Bowling Green.
Green, yeah.
You don't bring a guy in from Bowling Green
if you're
satisfied with what
you
got.
Exactly. Because you already had 3 quarterbacks. You don't need that many more. So... No, it's rough. Kendall still is the number one.
He's got the inside track.
Just because, like you said, he's mobile. Our offensive line's going to be terrible. We'll talk about that next podcast. They're just going to be bad. I mean, we do have one all Big 12 performer on it, but he can't block everybody.
No.
So I don't know how we're going to block anybody. So you got to have a quarterback to at least move. Maybe Trey Lowe will get some time because of that.
I think they'll do some situational stuff with Trey Lowe. I mean, and again, we saw Trey Lowe play quarterback. What did he run? 3 plays in a bowl game?
Yeah.
I mean, which was a joke. He should have played a lot more than that. We got a very small sample size on Allison. And Kendall in the spring game, and you and I talked about this. I thought from a passing standpoint, accuracy and velocity, Allison looked better than Kendall.
Much better.
But he can't move.
He can't move.
And if you've got an offensive line that can't hold blocks, you got to have a quarterback that can move outside the
pocket.
Exactly.
Especially one that's, maybe a buck 50s. He's soaking wet.
He's 6'5".
Yeah.
102.
Yeah. I mean, he's a recipe for disaster. We're getting hurt.
I think that, and I put this down, I think play calling this year is going to be more important than it has been in a long time for us to play. I mean, you know, quick screens, quick hits with the running backs. Yeah. I mean, we're going to be creative.
Dink and dunk. Yeah, absolutely offense.
Because we're not going to have time to sit back there and chuck the ball over the field.
You're not going to open big holes, and you're not going to power game anybody.
No.
So, yeah.
You're going to probably see a lot of two-back sets.
Yeah.
You're going to probably see a lot of H-back, reaction. Tight end.
You bet it. Going to have to.
You're going to have you're going to have to.
You're going to have to try to confuse the defense as opposed to overwhelm them.
I am not overly optimistic about the quarterback position.
No. And it's, like we said, it's the saddest thing, too, because we have a recruit we were really happy about with Trey Lowe, and then two transfers from big-name programs who were big-name recruits.
They're both four-star kids.
And now we're thinking maybe the Bowling Green guy will give him a run.
He might.
That's the saddest thing
ever. He very well could.
Well, you know what's bad news in the spring game where only quarterback that Neil Brown actually said at any point in time was having a good camp was the walk-on.
Yeah.
So that's not a good sign.
Not a good sign.
No.
Not a good sign. So quarterback position is definitely a work in progress. A position that I think is probably our deepest on the team is running back.
Oh, without a doubt.
Might be the deepest we've had since 88.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we got McCoy and
Petaway. Letty Brown.
And Letty Brown. Sinkfield. I mean, any of these three can start. Sinkfield's probably our most explosive. We can get to see a lot of. And apparently there's a freshman, they said.
Tony Mathis.
Might be better than all of them, but he's going to.
He'll have a redshirt in. I wouldn't waste his redshirt.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's loaded. I mean, we're loaded at running back. We just don't have any holes for them to get.
No.
Yeah, I mean.
So, you've got unknowns at quarterback. You've got unknowns at offensive line. And you got your deepest position is running back.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what.
What the option? Do?
Yeah.
I mean, we go Navy way? Just do. I mean, what do you mean?
I think they're going to use, and this is just me shooting from the hip. I think you're going to see Sinkfield really involved in the intermediate passing game. Uh-huh. And I think you're going to see a lot of two-back sets with Petaway and Letty Brown.
Yeah, I think so too.
I mean, I'm not taking anything away from McCoy.
No, but they're your tackle breakers, which you're going to have, because there's going to be more.
When you got to get yards and move the chains and, more importantly, keep your defense off the field, you're going to need those two guys on the field.
Absolutely. I think. And good thing about it is, well, it also depends on how long you can keep the ball. But you got four running backs, you can keep fresh at all times, but you got to be able to get first downs.
Yeah, that's gonna be the key. Move the chains.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can't move the chains.
And let's face it, our wide receiver crew, which we get to next, is pretty thin too.
I went through it, and I mean, obviously we lost Seals and Jennings, and Wesco was part of the past game. I know we're not previewing tight ends, but, I mean, you lost those guys, and obviously Marcus Sims, we lost him as well. T.J. Simmons is our leading returning receiver. He's already been named the captain. You know how many touchdowns he scored last year?
One, first game?
First touchdown of the season.
Yeah.
and didn't see the end zone after that. The only two things T.J. Simmons is memorable for is scoring the first touchdown against Tennessee
and
being the reason why Holgerson's in Houston right
That's
now.
That's exactly right.
That's it? He didn't block that guy out of bounds. Holgerson's still here.
That's probably right. That's a scary thought.
He's going to be, obviously, you're going to be your starter. You got Tevin Bush, who can fly.
Yeah.
But is 3 inches shorter than me.
Yeah.
I think you'll see him a lot more on sweeps and reverses. You know?
Yeah, me too. And a lot of those dunk passes we were talking about. If they give him any kind of room in the slot, we're just going to go just throw in the ball and see if he can make somebody miss.
So you got those two, and you figure Sam James will start.
Sam James is the name I think everybody's hoping will step up.
Yeah.
And be that guy.
And the good thing is he's a redshirt freshman because he only played in 3 games last year. So, right. And he's a bigger kid, can move. Seems to be, from what I've seen, seems to be the guy that has the highest ceiling.
Right. Well, they said that there's a freshman who's got this blazing speed.
Winston Wright.
Yeah. They said he might get some playing time just because not only is he super fast, they say he's got wiggle too. He's got the most wiggle. They said, I can't remember where I read this, but he might have as much wiggle as anybody since Tavon.
Well, we're going to need all the wiggle we can get. So you got them. You got Ricky Johns, who's a sophomore, hadn't played much. I mean, I don't look for him to contribute. And then you got Sean Ryan, who's the sophomore transfer from Temple.
Right.
Who had a really good freshman year, considering he was at Temple. But there's a reason why he was at Temple.
Right.
So you kind of got to temper your expectations there. You got Bryce Wheaton, who's a redshirt freshman.
I hope he steps up.
He's a bigger kid.
He's a bigger kid, too. They said, one article I read is our best hope might be to put Sam James, Wheaton, and TJ Simmons, because they're kind of big, muscular guys, and just kind of out muscle some people for some passes.
If we got time to throw the ball.
Yeah. So.
And then you got Randy Fields, who's also a redshirt freshman, who's not as big as those guys, but can fly. And then a guy I forgot about was that Isaiah Esdale, that transfer, who set out last year. And I don't know what he can do.
I don't know either.
So, and then I saw this guy. And I like to think that I'm relatively knowledgeable when it comes to our roster. You ever heard of George Campbell?
No.
He's a senior.
Okay.
Yep. So, evidently he hadn't made a big impact.
No.
Yep. Well, he's in there.
Alrighty.
And then the freshman you mentioned, Winston Wright. And then Allie Jennings is the other freshman.
Oh, yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised, given the lack of experience with the guys, if Jennings and Wright are as advertised, I wouldn't be surprised if they play.
Yeah, looking at that roster, yeah, me neither.
Yeah.
I mean, somebody's got to catch the ball. I mean, if you're going to run 3 or 4 wide receiver sets, you're going to have some receivers out there. I'm hoping out of that group we see Sam James emerge. I mean, obviously you want Simmons to be your leader, but. I hope you see Sam James emerge and you maybe get Winston White 5-10 touches a game, see what he does.
Yeah.
So
between the three positions that we just covered, we are deep at one.
And when we go through the rest of the positions, that might be the only position we're
probably
deep
will be.
It's if you compare it to the other teams in the Big 12, that's probably the only one in the world we could compete with the best players. Like, we had probably the best players at running back.
Yeah.
If you take it as a group. Because otherwise, we are way down the list.
We're bad.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just the lack of depth and experience.
We're talking about Austin Kendall being the 13th best chance for the Heisman. He might not be the 7th or 8th best quarterback in the Big 12.
No. He might not be.
Yeah, but that's sad. That really is sad. So, anyway, it's kind of depressing.
It is. I mean, we'll do our predictions later on down the line, but I can tell you right now, based on the information I have at this point in time, I'm not overly optimistic.
No. I mean, it could be looking like Rich Rodriguez's first year. But, he had a good 10-year.
Turned out okay, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, turned out okay.
We beat Rutgers 80-7.
We did. We were at that game. I know you remember that game well, don't
you? I remember some of it, and I remember the aftermath.
I do, too. We'll save that for another show.
That'll be another time.
Yeah. All right,
looks like they wasn't going to keg at the tailgate.
I don't know, but I guarantee you couldn't pull that off now.
No, there's no way in hell. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe, but you have to be really good about it.
You would.
Yeah, not the way we did it. We just had it. We just had it next to the car.
We were not being inconspicuous at all. We're like, yep, here's the keg right here.
Oh, man.
It was a good time, though.
Good times. Well, for some of us.
Yeah. Not everybody. All right, you want to take a break, and we'll hit the 4 questions, 2 assholes?
Yeah, I still have a couple of sports questions yet, asshole.
All right. Welcome back to One More, I'm Going Home, Going to Bed. Now we got 4 questions, 2 assholes.
4 questions, 2 assholes, and actually, I guess 5 questions this time, because mine was already asked by you.
Yep, I screwed that up.
Well, honestly, it was a pretty obvious question. Like I told you, I had thought about this weekend when I saw the trade. And then they asked that on Sportsline on Monday, and I thought, you sons of bitches stole my question. I was like, oh, Parker didn't hear that, and then you still end up still.
It's a good question, though.
Yeah, it is a good question.
All right, so you want me to go first?
Let me go first with the sports, because I had to try to come up with mine, and Felicity calls. She's got a water issue.
Yeah, she's
all kinds of stuff. Wants me to go look at it, so.
Confess your high maintenance. You're high maintenance. You're not going to hear this, but you're high maintenance.
Kind of like your daughter's always on call, or your friends always call you. Something. Now, I guess I'm a home inspector. I'm always on call.
You're always on call.
It was like, I told her, I was like, hell, my dad's retired. He got nothing to do right now. Give him a shout.
Get him over there.
I'll farm him out like Nuna used to do Pumple.
Yep.
Yep. Hey, Dad, fast need you.
I'll never
Good luck, Lauren.
I want to tell this story real quick, and then we'll get into this. But I'll never forget the time that Mom had a leak in their sink. Okay, it was like
I know the story.
It was barely dripping. Okay, so She mentioned something to Grandma about it. And Uncle Lonnie shows up at her and Dad's house. And he says, "Hey, Brenda." She says, "Hey, Uncle Lonnie, what are you doing here?" He says, "Well, talk to Mary. She said the basement was flooded." Mom's like, "Nope, just got a little drip on the, drip in the kitchen sink." Basement is not flooded. But I'm glad you're here.
Yeah. Oh, man. Man, going from one to another, it expanded and how shit. Bad it was.
Yep, it did. All right, go ahead.
All right, so we're talking about how we don't know. We're going to dial back our expectations for the football team coming up for next year.
You may have just taken my question.
Well, no. How long do you think we get back until we're competing for the Big 12 championship? How long did it take Hogerson? Because really, we didn't really compete until last year.
We ever did.
Yeah. How long did he coach?
3 years. I'll say 3 years.
You think he's going to be that quick?
Yep.
I'm gonna give him 4, possibly 5. I mean, it's the hardest thing to turn around is your offensive defensive line. If you can do that, then yeah. But I don't see where we have those positions coming in right now to where I can say, yeah, those are – maybe the defensive line we're getting a little bit better recruits. I'm still not sold on the offensive line. If we're going to be at that level, we're going to be a championship team.
That's fair.
So we'll give the next couple – what we need to have, you need to have that one big win or something like that kind of galvanizes like the fan base. Hopefully we get that. Hopefully we surprise somebody next year on a big
– I'll say this, no more than 4.
Okay, so you're going to put a 4-year limit.
Yeah.
If we're not competing, then issues will be had.
Now, when you say competing, top 4?
I want to say in the last 2 or 3 weeks, we have a chance to play in the championship game. In the last 2 or 3 weeks of the year. So
in the championship game?
Like, we have a chance to make it. If we, like, win out or something, you know. We have a chance to, in the last 2 or 3 games of the year, to play in that Big 12 championship. That's what I consider competing.
I could say 4.
Okay. Yeah, 4. I think 4 too. I think 4 is a good number. I think 3 might be a little quick.
From what I've seen from Neil Brown early, and again, it's early. I think if he continues to run the program the way it looks like he's going to,
right,
that we're going to have an opportunity,
right,
in 3 years once he gets a couple recruiting cycles under his belt,
right,
to be able to make some noise.
Yeah, I think next year you're looking at a total rebuild at this point in time, and put a foundation down. The year after that, you're looking at bowl game. The year after that, you're looking at, you know, a good 8-win season maybe, and then the year after that, you think. So I'm thinking 4.
That's fair.
I think it's a fair way to look at it.
That's fair. Right. That's fair. All right, to piggyback off of that, so we've gone through in our lifetime 4 coaching changes, mm-hmm, for the football program. Went from Nealon to Rodriguez, from Rodriguez odd. To Stewart,
uh-huh,
from Stewart to Hogerson, from Hogerson to Neil Brown. Where does your level of excitement rank for our transition from Hogerson to Neil Brown relative to those other 3 coaching changes?
2nd.
Next to Rich?
Next to Rich Rodriguez. Yeah. I mean, I think because it was just, I mean, everybody loved Donnie Nealon, but everybody knew it was his time. The game had slightly passed him by with the way the game was moving to it. And Rodriguez was still new with that offense, and we're going to play it like our hair is on fire. No, he didn't have any hair. And yeah, <that's true. laughs> So that was super exciting. And even when we were 3-8 that next year, we were still, because we knew he didn't have a quarterback to fit the system. He was trying to play bad. Bad Lewis. And probably Rasheed Marshall would have played the majority of that year if he didn't get hurt. So even that, it wasn't tempered. Like, everybody was still excited. And then the next year, we started competing right off the bat. The 2nd year, we go to a bowl game and went to, was it Virginia? What game was that we went and got our?
0-2, Virginia. Yeah. Tire Bowl.
Yeah. And every year after that, we were competing for Big East Championship. So.
We won 11 games 3 years in a row.
Mm-hmm. So it's definitely more exciting than Bill Stewart. Stewart's definitely the last of that group. I mean, after the bowl game, there was a little bit, we were like, what are we doing? kind of feel to it. And then the Hogerson thing was just
weird.
Odd. Yeah. I mean, none of that was handled well at all. So definitely the second. It's the second.
That's kind of what I thought.
Yeah.
Kind of what I thought too.
But I am excited about him. I think he's a winner not only in football. I think he's a winner in life.
I do too.
That's a good coach.
I do too. Yep. Yeah. I do too. All right, non-sports. Let me go first.
Yeah.
All right. So it's summertime.
Summer.
When you and I live together, we recorded some songs.
Uh-huh.
On your front porch.
Yes, some good ones too.
We did.
Yeah.
So my question to you is, and there's only a select few people that have heard this, is the Chip song to Country Boy Can't Survive your greatest musical accomplishment to date?
Well, it's not mine. It's got to be ours. I would have to say, I really like the Fairy Family. I love the Neighborhood Song.
Neighborhood Song's good.
Because that was our first one.
But you got to think about it, because we wrote 8 songs, 9 songs? I can't remember how many songs we wrote.
Yeah,
But that song wrote itself in about 10 minutes.
And I don't even know why we thought to put it to that song, but we did. And like, I think I learned that song that night. And then we wrote it that night.
Yeah, we did.
We wrote it all in one evening.
Yeah.
And that's probably the one song I remember more lines than any other song. So, yeah, I think
I
said.
I have gone through and looked because I thought I saved the lyrics because we switched operating systems not long ago. And I had all that stuff saved. But I could not find, because we wrote a song about JJ. We wrote a song about Garrett. We wrote a song about Ethan. We wrote a song about Slaviver.
Phil Legg.
Bill Pennington.
Bill
Pennington's good.
That's an excellent song.
But I wrote down a few lines from that song that we. I can drink beer all day long, and I'm on the prowl for a single mom. My uncle took my goddamn tickets away, but I called Vargo, and he saved the day. Event staff is on me, but I ain't leaving, and I love those girls from old Tom P.
So if you want to know some of that background, though, your boys will.
Yeah. He's got an F-150 that's a 4-wheel drive, and he's a proud alum of Bridgeport High. He came from the north central part of the state, and he'll steal food from your tailgate.
Now, you know what we're about to do. I'm going to bring my guitar over here and we're going to play it for the show.
Yeah, I know.
Because it's better, especially when you hear the chorus.
Hey, how about this one? It's cash only down at Bubba's Saloon, and the high five bitch wouldn't give me any poon.
That's the best line. That's my favorite line. Easily my favorite line. and we got to tell the high five story at some point in time on the show now.
And the chorus, because you can't cut him off and you can't make him leave. He says the F word, like the word thee, and when he gets drunk, he talks to your feet.
All true.
All true.
Every bit of, to this day.
All true.
It is still true. Without a doubt.
I am not musically inclined, but that is the best thing I've ever had my name attached to.
Now, I'll tell you what. I still sing Bill Pennington's chorus. Because it was based off of, it's a Steve Earle song. Goddamn you, Bill Pennington. So we say, goddamn you,
McCullough.
Bill Pennington.
You might be the funniest son of a bitch alive. And when you're drunk,
you can't believe the shit you say.
But you get by with it anyway. Because anyway. Yeah. He does.
He does. So that's my favorite course, but without a doubt, Chips is our best song.
Without a doubt.
The Chips song was our best song. Oh, we wrote some good ones. It all started with Bob walking across the street.
Was stealing
Bob.
A trash can. Yeah. Bob stole a trash can.
Start with Bob.
He said, hey, Bob, what are you doing? Where are you going?
With
Granny's trash can.
Yeah, that's how it all started. We started writing songs from that point on. We got a 14-minute Family Fairy song.
Yeah, we do.
And our family asked us to play all the time. Loretta got mad because we didn't have
Matt.
We didn't have Matt.
We edited it to add Matt.
Yeah. I'll never forget that.
She said, that song's pretty good, but you forgot somebody. I said, I'm sorry, Loretta. Yeah. We'll fix that.
So we kept adding it because we kept forgetting people.
Yeah.
Because our family's too damn big.
It's a big family.
We need to scale it back somehow.
Yeah.
That's the purge. Can we get the purge?
Yeah.
We do a family purge.
Good luck.
Yeah. With my knee, I'd be done.
You would be.
It wouldn't last very long. Have you seen the Fairy Sisters? They'd take everybody out.
They would. They sure would.
All right, you ready?
Yep.
All right, so We were down at the pool the other day, just hanging out. And I was telling Isaac how I used to ride the bike to the pool. And he had just got grounded. And he was like, what's the worst thing that you did as a kid to get grounded? So my question to you is, what's the worst thing you did as a kid, and what was the punishment for it?
As a kid?
Now, up to, because mine was, I was 17.
Okay, I was 16.
I was 16. No, I was 15 when mine was. So, up through high school, or driving age.
Up through high school. We were out in Fayetteville. God, I can't believe I'm going to tell you. Oh, boy.
Do you want me to tell mine first? Because I'm sure yours is better.
No, go ahead.
All right, so when I was 15, me and a whole bunch of us, Mike Price, Ryan Hall, there was like eight of us, camped out at Phil Lake's farm. And this back in those times where you thought it was great to walk around town. Well, we're walking around Scarborough. I wouldn't call it a town.
No.
So we're walking around Scarborough, middle of the night. Probably not the safest thing in the world. It was a group of like eight of us. And we're just doing stupid stuff. And we ended up coming back through the woods, and there's this old truck. It's in the woods. It's in the middle of the woods. So we're like, let's bust the windows out of this truck. It had a whole bunch of tools stuff in the back. So they go start trying to bust the windows out. And I remember sitting down in the grass at Ron Hall. And we're sitting there watching. They're trying to get the tools out to bust the windows. I'm like, come on, man, let's go. Let's go back to the camp. I was like, let's go. And they were like, we're not going until we bust out these windows. So I picked up a rock, and I said, well, bust them out, just bust them out. And I threw a rock through the window, one of the windows. Well, that started it. So everybody, Mike Price, Ron Hall, everybody's throwing rocks in this truck, and we destroyed all the windows. We go back to we're laughing, though. We go back to the cabin, or back to the camp. Next morning, we get up, go to the pool, like we always do. And next thing you know, you see Phil Lake's mom pull it. And as soon as you did, I looked at Price and said, this ain't good.
Yep.
And so she came storming in, and she grabbed Phil by the back of his neck and hauled his ass out to the car.
Probably didn't take much because he didn't weigh much.
No, and I thought, oh, this really isn't good. So I was like, I'm going home. So I got on my bike, and Mike Price and I, we lived in Collinwood. We rode our bikes home. No sooner did I get in the door, Mom's like, Josh! I was like, so did you destroy some guy's truck last night? And I was like, yeah.
Maybe.
I was like, yeah, we did. So apparently, that guy had recognized Phil walking around Scarborough and knew it was his truck. He parked it in the woods so people wouldn't mess with it.
Too bad that didn't
work. So he saw Mary Lou at the freaking grocery store, and he said, I think your son's destroyed my truck. So needless to say, because Phil, half the people were wearing masks, some of us weren't, because why are you going to wear a mask for? Yeah. Just asking for trouble. Yeah. So, but he recognized Phil. So anyway, everybody had to pay $80. The whole group, everybody in the group had, families had to pay $80 to fix this guy's truck. And he wasn't going to press any charge or anything. So my punishment was that next morning, my mom woke me up at 7 a.m. with a notebook size paper or a legal size paper of all the chores I had to do. It was clean the garage, mow the grass. So I started off mowing the grass about 8 o'clock. And I am mowing the grass, and I get almost done, and I look over, and there goes Mike Price riding his bike down to the pool. And I thought, what the hell? I found out later, he told his parents he didn't do anything. He was just sitting there. He just watched us destroy it.
Oh.
No, for a fact, he was right next to me throwing a rock.
Right in the middle of it.
That son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Anyway, not only was I grounded for a month and couldn't do anything, I mean, for the entire last month of my summer, I wasn't allowed to get my driver's license until I was 17 because of it, too.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Worst punishment I ever had. Haven't done anything like that since.
No, that's good. Good,
I just punish myself. I don't want to punish anything else, anybody else's stuff.
Well, I have committed multiple infractions. But the one that probably sticks out was when I was a senior. And I was with Adam and Brandon Keebler. Probably Mark Webb. I don't know if Robbie was there or not. But anyway, we were out drinking, carrying on one thing or another. We ended up in Fayetteville. I'm not sure why we were in Fayetteville. But we were coming downtown Fayetteville. And there was a police car parked on the side of the road. And we thought it would be a good idea to yell obscenities at the police car. That did not end well. So we did that, and then we cut down this side road behind the memorial building is where we went. Uh-huh. Okay. Well, they headed us off at the pass, so they got us. And I wasn't driving, but, I mean, I was in no shape to be doing anything. So they called our parents. They were like, you know, we're running you guys in. So, Mom, the bad part about it was the next day was Mom's birthday. Okay? And this was a Saturday night. Okay? So Mom and Dad drive over from Fayetteville. I mean, I don't know what Dad called me on the ride home, but I guarantee
it was a Christian Lee.
I couldn't pronounce a lot of it. I woke up the next morning with a sheet of paper beside my bed and numbered 1 through 75. 75 was places to look for a job. And one of them said Crossroads Mall, and in parentheses it said all stores. There's a lot of stores in the mall. A lot of stores in the mall. So I thought, oh shit, I'm about to get my resume together.
That's when you, then you, as you were looking for a job, you saw Ronnie Taylor.
Yeah, I was driving Grandma's Cadillac through town, and when Gino's used to be uptown across from Comac,
mm-hmm.
it was raining, and I was stopped at the stoplight, and he was coming out of Comac. He's like, hey, and I said, yeah, he said, you work anywhere right now? I said, nope, but I'm trying to.
I was mandated.
He said, you want a job? I said, hell yeah. He said, come over to the new restaurant, talk to Dad. I said, I'll be there tomorrow.
And that started your dirty earnings.
And I was the first employee hired by Dirty Earnings.
Led you to more trouble.
Yeah. Which we've covered on this show. Thanks to you.
You thought it was getting better? Mm-mm. Didn't. See, you can tell your dad, it's his fault. Well, he started you down the path looking for that job.
Well, you can tell him that.
No.
You can
no,
tell him.
I'll wake up tomorrow morning with a list. I don't want any of that.
You can tell him that.
It's funny how both of our stories end up with a list.
Yeah. Yeah. I was on the list of people that were going on the list.
Hey, that's Dave's line. You got to give him copyright practice for that.
All right, Dave. Shout out to you, Dave.
All right, that was actually a very long podcast.
It was.
That was a good one.
It was good. It's been a while.
There's the Arnold Palmers. We just want to try to milk it out as long as possible. Mm-hmm. They're that good.
That was good, though, man. So we'll be back in 2 weeks.
2 weeks, anything happened in between there and there? So, a couple little things. But a
couple things.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. Yeah. But nothing big party-wise and like that. So just watch for football. Getting closer and closer. By the time we get together, I'm 38 be almost just a little more than a month.
A little more than a month, yeah. Be here before we know.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. All right, man. Well, I guess there's nothing to say, but one more and I'm going home, going to bed.
One more and I'm going home, going to bed.